Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. As we always do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which is the sixth Sunday of Easter. Notice, not after Easter, of Easter. I hope you've been taking time, because I've mentioned it several times in the radio programs, but make sure you're celebrating. You've got days, weeks of celebration. Take advantage of it. Rejoice. Periodically have perhaps a special meal at home or a dessert, or you do something as a family together just to celebrate the Easter season. Oh, brothers and sisters, God has so much to give us, and we live like, well, yeah, that's later when I get to heaven. No, it's now. Live it now. Heaven rejoices. They're not bound by time, but they rejoice continuously what God has done for them in Christ. And so should we be. Before I take a look at the readings for this Sunday, I wanted to refer to a passage from Leviticus, which isn't something you read every day, I know, from the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verses 3 to 5. Listen to this carefully. If you live in accordance with my precepts and are careful to observe my commandments, I will give you. Now, he's speaking mainly to an agricultural people at that time, had to eke out their own existence. But look what he promises. If you pay attention to my precepts, you're careful to observe my commandments, I will give you rain in due season, so that the land will bear its crops and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will last till vintage time, and your vintage till the time for sowing, and you will have food to eat in abundance so that you may dwell securely in your land. Look what God promises basically to those who obey the commandments. Look what he promises. Why do we not take advantage of it? Why do we not seek his will more than anything else in every situation? Lord, what's your will here? Help me. Help me to follow you. Sometimes we can't discern it, but if we bring to the Lord our desire to follow his will, he will show us the path. Doors will open, doors will shut. People will come into our lives or leave our lives, whatever the case may be. Things will change if you sincerely seek his will, as Jesus did. Jesus won your salvation, your eternal life. He won for you the hope of eternal life because he did the will of the Father. We're called to the same. Let's open up our hearts, brothers and sisters. Let's make sure that in this season of Easter, as we celebrate what Christ did for us, that we show our gratitude by desiring to imitate Christ more and more. There could be no greater act of gratitude to God the Father and to his Son, Jesus. Grant, Almighty God, that we may celebrate with heartfelt devotion these days of joy, which we keep in honor of the risen Lord, and that we may relive in remembrance, and that what we relive in remembrance we may always hold to in what we do. In other words, we want to do God's will. What we're saying today, the decisions that we're making about the way we want to live going forward, we want to be in a position that we always hold very close to our hearts those things that God has asked of us. Perhaps today is a day to make a new decision in your life. This time of celebration and gratitude to God for what he did for us is most fully expressed. Our gratitude is most fully expressed when we say, Lord, I want to be more like you. Help me. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 25, 26, 34, 35, and 44 to 48. So this jumps around a little bit, but it's Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Remember, have your Bibles with you if possible when you listen to this program. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, and falling at his feet, paid him homage. Peter, however, raised him up, saying, "Get up, get up. I myself am also a human being." In other words, don't start giving me adoration. That belongs to God alone. And then Peter proceeded to speak and said, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." See, those are God's criteria. They're not our criteria. We separate ourselves, races, economic strata, in every form, we separate ourselves from people. But Jesus simply looks to those who desire to follow him. That's who he loves. That's who he draws near to. Are you among them? While Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. They became excited. It was like their hearts began to burn within them. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. See, they're shocked that the barriers they had set up, God annihilates. All he looks for is those who love him and desire to follow him. And then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have?" He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you see what it is that caused people to want to be baptized? They saw the beauty of God shining on the face of human beings who had committed themselves to God, who laid down everything to follow him. What are we doing? We're living in a darkened world, brothers and sisters, that's growing darker. Does our light shine? Don't worry, you won't see it. But if you're obedient and you repent when you fail, God's light will begin to shine more brightly in you. Psalm 98, "The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. He's made his name known throughout all the earth." Are we all his disciples who have heard the word? No. We dismiss. We don't care. We turn away. Ask God not only for yourself, but for the whole world, that we might turn and be converted and bring the glory of God to those who dwell in darkness. Second reading is from the first letter of St. John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. "Beloved, let us love one another." There's the key. "Because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love." It's not just God has a lot of love. God is love, the fullness of love. That's who God is. "In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins, to cancel, to wipe the slate clean for us. God, in his mercy, we who did not deserve it, receive it as long as we repent." Ponder that. That's a passage you could spend a week on, applying it to your life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17, Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you." Hear that. "As the Father loves me, I love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another. God does not command without imparting the grace to obey. Well, that's for holy people, or that's for this person, or that's for people in that country, or that church, or whatever. No, no. It's for all of us, and each of us in particular. Brothers and sisters, when I think, as I do sometimes, I think about the time of my own death, and I use it as an examination of conscience to say, if I were dying today, if I were going to die today, what would I regret? What would I wish that I had done more of? Where could I have served better? It's very salutary to do that. I know people will say to me, I don't want to think about my death. I want to think about my union with God, which is what death brings about if we followed him. I think about union with the source of all love. And I want my life. I fail. I make mistakes. Believe me. But every day I say to the Lord, I want to follow you more closely. I want to think as you think. I want to act as you act. I want to love those you love, which is every man and woman on the face of the earth. But I want to be more and more conformed to him so that his love, it's his love that has power. I might be able on my own, in a certain sense on my own, to bring perhaps a little peace or a little resolution or a little relief to people. But the love that we hunger for, the love that we crave can only be satisfied by God. He put it in us. And it can only be satisfied when we're united with him. So brothers and sisters, I urge you, as we're going to be moving down the line now, close to Pentecost, we need more of the Holy Spirit. We need the graces and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need the life of God's Spirit more fully dwelling in us. It does by baptism. It's enhanced by the particular gifts in the sacrament of confirmation. It's in us. But if we don't activate it, it's useless. It stays there. God gave us a free will. So we want to be in a position to assess our own lives, to see where we honestly are, to look at it in light of the death that Christ suffered for us, to look at that and to look at his promises, and then to clearly make some decisions that the Holy Spirit may dwell in us with power. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.